Chapter 24. Desperate Measures. On the last day of our detention, I get official notice. My test is set for a Friday evening 2 weeks from now. Halloween. I guess when Mrs. LaRue said things would continue as usual, she meant it. The maestros might be worried about the weather, but it was too much to hope that might be enough to make them forget about my test. I have no idea what it will involve, but I know I'm nowhere near ready. I'm falling even further behind in my classes. None of the maestros even try to give me solos anymore. Instead, they ask me to sit out when the class attempts more difficult spells. Watch and learn, they tell me, as if I'm going to get better that way. But I think what's really happening is they've given up on me. And I can't figure out if I've given up on myself. I still practice as much as I can. I do all my homework, take lots of notes, and let Jai tutor me whenever he offers. Why he's still hanging out with me, I don't know. All I do is get him in trouble. You need to relax, he says. Anybody would make mistakes playing that tense. But that's easy for him to say. He's already better than a lot of the high schoolers. Me? I'm just lucky to be here. But my luck is running out. Darby and I don't talk again after the night in the woods. Every morning, I wait until she's dressed and gone before I get out of bed. And at night, she's already asleep when I get back from my late practice sessions. Even when we get stuck together one day under the cafeteria awning, a storm raging all around us, she waits for the rain to end in silence and totally ignores me. And the ghost is definitely still around. Even when she's not doing anything to mess me up, I can still feel other Amelia hovering around me like a shadow. I never really feel alone, and sometimes my skin breaks out in goosebumps for no reason. I wonder if it's because she brushed against me. The night before my test, it pours harder than it has all month. Rain runs down the windows, and the path from the dorms to Harmony Hall is under an inch of water. I tie plastic bags over my shoes and slog through it, my flute case double-wrapped in ponchos, which Miss March has been handing out like breath mints. I shut myself in a practice room and play the same piece of music over and over and over. It's a calming spell, but it doesn't seem to be working, even though the air around me is full of bright white magic, like glowing feathers drifting in the air. I finally take a break, stretching my kinked-up muscles. And that's when I see an outline in the wisps of magic, an empty spot where no glowing lights appear. Something is there, the same way the mountains are there at night, visible only by the hole it creates. Amelia? I whisper, freezing. Amelia Jones, is that you? The emptiness moves, and feathers of light flutter around her, and then I'm sure she's there. My whole body turns into one big goosebump. It feels like ice slips down my back. Why are you doing this? I ask. Why can't you just leave me alone? I know I took your place. I know this isn't fair, but I just want a chance. And it's not like getting me kicked out will help you any. I glance around, having lost sight of her. Amelia? Hello? A loud thump sounds right beside me, and despite myself, I let out a shriek. Then I realize it was just someone knocking on the door. Come in, I say weakly. Jai pokes his head in. Well, somebody's jumpier than a jitterbug today. You surprised me, I grumble. And what the heck's a jitterbug? Here's a hint. If you ever see your dog mysteriously start tap dancing, it's probably infested with singing jitterbugs. They're like fleas, but musical. He slips into the room, holding his violin. I had a free period and thought I'd see if you wanted to practice together. Don't bother. I'm a lost cause. I can help you. I'm beyond help. Oh, stop being so mopey. The maestro's like, don't. I slam my flute against my palm, glaring at him. Don't tell me the maestro's like confidence, or that if I just relax, I'll magically get better. If you just let me help you, he presses, you might figure out how to compose again and show them you do belong here. There's no way they can kick you out of Mistwick if they know you're a composer. Or if you want, I could just tell them that I saw you make that snow spell. Then I'd definitely get expelled. Just stop with the helping me, will you? You're always pushing me. Like you have any right to do that, when you're too much of a coward to even tell your dad you want to play rock spells. As soon as I say the words, I kick myself. What am I doing? Jai is my only friend here, the only person who has stood by me no matter what. He's given up so much of his own practice time to help me, never asking for anything in return. And I just burned all that to the ground in a fit of anger and fear. But the words are out, spilled like garbage juice. There's no taking them back. Jai's eyes darken. If that's what you think, then maybe you deserve to be expelled. He steps out and slams the door. Jai, I'm sorry, wait! I run after him, but by the time I reach the hallway, he's gone. I sink to the floor in the corner of the soundproof little room, clutching my flute and staring at my shoes. Finally, I take the photo of my mom from my case and stare at it. I made it, I whisper. I made it to Mistwick, just like you did. Just like I thought I was supposed to. This is what I've always wanted, but now I'm about to lose everything. I can't help feeling that if I lose this place, I'll lose her, too, all over again. What if Jai is right? If only there were a way to prove to the maestros, beyond all doubt, that I belong here. Shutting my eyes, I imagine them watching, shocked, as I conjure snow from thin air, with a spell all of my own making. Maybe that would show them. Maybe they'd be so impressed they wouldn't even care that I was breaking the rules. I lick my dry lips and raise my flute. Just like that day in the Echo Wood, I try to let my fingers take over, allowing my mind to relax so music can flow through me. My fingers press keys at random, feeling out a melody, searching for guidance from my subconscious. If I could just control this deep, strange part of myself, if I could only figure out how to unlock that power. Sparks burst on my flute and fall to the floor, catching the crumpled music sheets on fire. In moments, I'm surrounded by leaping flames. I scream and press myself against the wall, my body going cold with terror. Then the sprinklers overhead click on, and me, the papers, and the whole room gets doused with a sudden freezing spray. I quickly cover my flute with my shirt, protecting it, but there's no hope for my collection of spells. The drizzle lasts a full minute, long after the fire is out, and the whole time I stand there in shock, water dribbling down my face. When the sprinklers finally shut off, I find my flute covered in scorch marks. They'll wash off. The fire wasn't that hot, and it'd take a lot more heat than that to permanently damage the instrument. And the more delicate parts of the instrument, like the flute pads, are still intact and unharmed, thank goodness. One of the perks of playing flute, instead of something wooden like violin or piano. But still, that was a close call. Too close. The hall monitor who watches over the practice rooms runs up, looking pretty angry that I've just made his job a whole lot harder. He'll have to mop up the mess and scrub the scorch marks off the floor. You okay? He growls. Need to see the nurse? I'm fine. I slip away, flute in one hand, case in the other. I wonder if he'll report this to Mrs. LaRue. My last hope is gone. There's no way I can compose for the maestros. Mr. Pinwhistle had been mad enough when I made his mustache grow. I don't even want to imagine his reaction if I set it on fire. My test is tomorrow. I should go to dinner, but even the thought of food makes me sick. So instead, I go to my room and start packing.